Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the most important things in life is the ability to be able to listen. Now that's, as I'm sure you know, that's different from just hearing sounds. You might have a very good sense of hearing, being able to pick up on very quiet sounds that other people might not be able to hear quite so easily. But the most important question is, are you really able to listen? We know that careful listening is more than merely just hearing the input of sound or of even of understanding the meaning of those sounds that we hear. The listening opens the doors to communication. Listening enhances our ability to understand ideas, and to be able to understand the feelings and the situations of other people. In the gospel reading for today, we hear the voice of God the Father. And as we mentioned, it's that voice, those words, that instruction was not just for those three disciples who were with Jesus at that time, not just for the other disciples and the other early believers who were told about it later on, but really that call from God the Father is for all people of all time, including us today. But an nagging question persists. When God speaks, who listens? More importantly for us, when God speaks, do we listen? The gospel writer Mark's account of the transfiguration of Jesus that we have before us here does much more than just recall this very important event in the life of our Savior. Rather, it also contains a challenge for everyone who professes faith in Jesus as their Savior. It urges us to do more than just hear the sound of our Savior's voice. It calls on us to really listen to the Master's voice. In every period of human history, God's people are bombarded, confronted by a myriad of different voices in the world around them that compete for their attention, their allegiance, and their faith. Frequently, those different messages can be confusing, they can be contradictory, at odds with each other, and it's not always easy to make sense out of what we hear from those voices that are all around us in the world. For Jesus' disciples 2,000 years ago, it was the same way. They faced a steady barrage of conflicting views about God and about God's will for our lives. And so in those 3 years that Jesus spent in close fellowship with those 12 of his closest disciples, he spent a lot of time trying to help them sort it all out, teaching them about the kingdom of God. As we see again and again in the gospel books, we see that Jesus made the words of the Old Testament prophets come alive to them as he opened the scriptures to them, as he explained the meaning of God's word that he had given through the prophets of the Old Testament. Repeatedly, again and again, Jesus urged them not to simply hear those words, but to listen to them, to take them to heart, and to let that word of God change their hearts and lives. And just a several days before this event of Jesus' transfiguration, where he led those three disciples up onto the mountainside, Jesus told them clearly and directly about events that would soon happen to him. At the end of Mark chapter 8, we read that Jesus told them, he began to teach them that the Son of Man, a reference to himself, must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. He spoke plainly about this. The Savior's voice is worth listening to. On that Transfiguration Mountain, the meaning of many of the things that Jesus had been saying should really have become very clear for those disciples who were with them, who were with him. Before their very eyes, Peter, James, and John saw the Lord transfigured in front of them, as we read. His clothes became radiant, dazzling white, whiter than anyone on earth could bleach them. And Elijah appeared to them together with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. Everything, all the details about that transfiguration event call attention to the importance of listening to the Master's voice. Besides the dazzling white garments of Jesus, there were other voices that penetrated the silence. Those voices of those great, bold prophets of old, Moses and Elijah. They also had once lived in a world of conflicting voices. They had heard voices of unbelief, of doubt, voices that mocked God and his plan for God's people. But they had also heard the voice of God speaking directly to them. Think about the life of Moses, when God called him to go and lead God's people out of slavery in Egypt. God appeared to Moses through a burning bush, a bush that continued to burn but miraculously never burned up. Moses, standing there in awe, listened to the voice of God, calling him away from being a shepherd of sheep, the challenging task of leading a whole nation. And again, later on Mount Sinai, Moses heard the voice of God speaking to him as God announced his covenant with his people. And as God gave Moses the commandments that God wanted Moses then to convey to God's people. And hundreds of years later, during the time period of the kings of Israel, during the reign of an especially wicked and idolatrous king who rejected the worship of the true God, Elijah, after confronting the false prophets of the false god Baal, whom that wicked king Ahab and his wicked wife Jezebel worshiped, Elijah ran away in fear, hid himself away in a cave, and despaired of all hope that there was anyone left who still believed in the true God besides himself. But in his despair, God came to him and again spoke directly to him. And if you remember that account, the voice of God came to Elijah not in the violent wind or the earthquake that shook the mountain that held the cave in which Elijah was hiding, but the voice of God came to him in that still, small voice. It was the steady voice of God that penetrates all the noise of this world, and that brings an important message to the ears of God's people. Imagine those three disciples listening to the conversation between Moses and Elijah and Jesus there on the Mount of Transfiguration. That conversation was certainly worth listening to. It should have been deeply impressed on their memories, and maybe it was, but they don't tell us anywhere in the Bible what exactly those three were talking about. We see Mark point out something interesting in his account here, something that as we think about our own lives is very common to us as well. He says they were terrified. Fear, it seems, may have gotten in the way of them listening, paying attention to that important conversation. So groping for words and bewildered by that experience, all that Peter could think to do was to blurt out, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." It seems that Peter had gotten sidetracked from the all-important task of listening to the Master's voice. Peter wanted to preserve the glory of that experience, to make that precious moment last longer by building shelters so that they could continue to stay there on the mountain. But God had a different plan. From out of the cloud that, overshadowed them. Peter and the other two disciples, James and John, heard another voice, clear and unmistakable. This was a powerful voice, a voice to be reckoned with. It demanded a hearing. It said, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." It was the voice of God the Father himself calling to them. Just as God calls to people of every age of human history, calling them to listen to the voice of his only begotten Son. As Jesus tells us, his voice is the voice of the good shepherd who has laid down his life to save his sheep. His voice speaks with authority because he is God and his word is truth. In a world so full of noise and confusion and so many conflicting ideas and voices and opinions, Jesus' voice brings good news. Good news to us who are bombarded by competing claims of truth, competing claims about what is the way to God and the way to eternal life. Voices that tell us that we get to heaven by our own good works, by trying harder, by trying to do better, by striving to reach the standard that God sets in his word, struggling to obey all of God's laws, striving for personal goodness and betterment. Jesus reveals that his way is through the cross, through suffering, and through death. Finally, through resurrection. Competing and conflicting voices around us often garble and mask the voice of God that we really need to hear. Think about that experience that I imagine you probably had if you're driving on a longer car trip, listening to the radio, and eventually the radio station that you've been listening to begins to cut out as the frequency begins to fade the farther you get away from that radio tower. And then perhaps another signal starts to cut in from another tower that's broadcasting from a different area but on the same frequency. And then for a little while, when you're in between those two radio broadcasting towers, you hear the mixture of those two conflicting signals, and it's garbled, it's confused, and it's really hard to make out or really clearly hear and understand either one of those competing signals. Listening to the voice of God in today's world with so many conflicting messages and ideas is very similar to that. There are many competing voices traveling through the air. They not only beg for a hearing, but they also tend to garble and to muffle and to blot out the voice of God that is heard in the proclamation of the gospel and that sounds forth from the pages of Scripture. Think for a moment about how those mixed voices have distorted the truth about the person and work of Jesus. People have attempted to explain Jesus, his life, and his teaching in many different ways, theologically, philosophically, and in a host of other ways. Some people have asserted that Jesus was a mere man, that he was a good teacher, a good moral leader for people to follow. Some have said that he was just a hoax, that he didn't even exist, really, that his followers made him up so that they could attract a following for themselves. Others have said that he did exist, but that he was just a con artist, a liar. But in the voice that came from the cloud at the Transfiguration, there was no complicated explanation, just the clear, direct, unmistakable message. This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. When our Lord Jesus speaks, his voice is worth listening to. Not only because he is speaking, but also because he has something extremely worthwhile to say to us. Jesus talks to us about life and about work and about the world. He tells us about the rescue of, of us from our sins, about the friendship between us and God that he has established for us, about the hope that he gives to us, hope about a future that lasts beyond our grave into eternal life with him in the perfect bliss of heaven. What a message there was for the disciples who would soon, after those events, have to face the reality of life after coming down from the glories of that mountaintop experience down back again into the valley along the dusty, crowded streets of the cities. That mountain of transfiguration would not be a place for them to stay long term. In spite of their desire to stay and to continue to experience those marvelous sights and sounds, God had work, rewarding and challenging work, for Peter, James, and John, and the other disciples to do. The first step was for them to pay attention, to listen to the Master's voice. Think about what would happen in your life, if we would seriously practice the fine art of listening to the many important things that our Savior has to say. If we began each day by taking to heart the message of the cross that Jesus shares with us, don't you think we'd be less fearful, less confused by all the other voices that are in the world around us, more able to deal with the world's confusing noise? How much more peaceful our lives would be if our hearts and minds were finely tuned to the voice of him who says, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand." Listening closely to the Master's voice would help us to understand the deeper meaning of the Savior's words when he says, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul?" That's really what Jesus was emphasizing when he visited the home of Mary and Martha. You remember that account? Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him, to Jesus, and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." People often engage in small talk, filling up time and space with words that, in the grand scheme of things, don't really matter a whole lot. They don't really get to deep truths and to deep emotions and feelings. God never just makes small talk in his conversation with us. God always has something significant to say. What God says matters, and it is worth listening to. However, the fact that God is speaking and has important things to say about life doesn't always make the task of listening any easier for us. Our Lord Jesus was aware of the difficulty that we often have with listening to him and to his voice. And so very often in his teaching, he included the phrase, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear," calling on us to really pay attention, to listen, to meditate on the words that he spoke, and to apply the truths of those words to our lives. The shallow thinking of our time, and the difficulty that so many people have in truly listening to the Master's voice, is seen in the willingness of some people to believe that one voice is just as good as another voice, and perhaps they listen to and believe in many different voices, some of which might even be contradictory and competing. And certainly every person has a right to choose what to listen to, what to believe and not to believe. But it's also true that each one of those choices has its own risk and consequence. Think about that idea that's so popular in the world today, that every religious road, every faith, ultimately leads to the same place, to the discovery of the one true God, just calling on Him, praying to Him by different names. But God tells us in His Word that that idea is simply not true. God tells us that theological truth, truth about Himself and the way He saves us, is not relative. There is not more than one truth about God and salvation. It's not true that one view about God is just as good as another view. We must listen to the Master's voice, precisely because what He has to say has eternal significance for us. Only His voice tells us of the God who sent His Son to save us from sin and from death. Only Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And just as the apostles confessed before the ruling body of the Jewish elders, the Sanhedrin, after the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, when they were being persecuted and forbidden to preach in the name of Jesus again among the people, they boldly testified, in spite of the risk of torture and persecution and even execution for themselves, they said, "There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to people by which we must be saved." A person may have the best of intentions and be completely sincere, but to believe that just any view about God will open the gates to eternal life in heaven is just as unreasonable as believing that any liquid that you pour into the gas tank of your car will make that car run and run smoothly. Think about all the upsetting events and the hard and sometimes excruciating circumstances of life that press in on us and weigh us down sometimes. Competing and contradictory and distracting voices around us may confuse us as we face some of those most bewildering, difficult moments of life. The self-serving, self-seeking lifestyle that we see so often in the world around us suggests that life must always be filled with self-indulgence, that really is the meaning of life, to enjoy yourself, to have wonderful experiences. Or rather, if we listen to the gentle voice of the Master, we hear Him inviting us to take up our cross and follow Him. Crass, self-indulgence, self-serving is not really living in the way that Jesus intends. Security and hope for the days to come are not simply byproducts of something to believe in, anything, some religious system that you can follow and that can give you comfort, no matter what it might be. Rather, listen to the voice of Him who said, "If you remain in My word, you are really My disciple. You will also know the truth, and the truth will set you free." As we prepare to go through the coming holy days of Lent, we need not despair as we especially focus on the law of God and reflect on our own sinfulness and our total abject humiliation before God. The voice of God, the loving, merciful voice of God, is still there to be heard. No noisy or boisterous, distracting voice from the world around us can overcome that sure, still, yet strong voice of our God. Martin Luther and the other reformers offered good counsel when they said, Let the man who would hear God, who would hear God speak, read Holy Scripture. As we do that, as we read or listen to the Bible, we will hear the living voice of Him who calls us His own sons and daughters. This is the voice of a loving, gracious Father who does not despise a broken and contrite heart. By the power of His Spirit, God opens our ears so that we can listen to the Master's voice.